everyone, and a very warm welcome to all our Radio Tyneside listeners, especially those of you in our local hospitals in Newcastle and Gateshead. This is Sheila Hamill, presenter of New Day Dawning, and today we are going to explore what Jesus was teaching his disciples when he told them he was the true vine. But first, our Old Testament reading from Genesis 22 is all about God telling Abraham to sacrifice his son Isaac as a burnt offering. Not very nice. Bit of a step too far, I can hear you saying. Well, I agree. But perhaps God never intended Abraham to carry it out. After all, did God not arrange for a ram to be caught up in the thicket and used for the sacrifice instead? This is quite a symbolic story too, for in years to come, God's own son would willingly lay down his life as a sacrifice too. This song, Abraham and Isaac, tries to express Abraham's sorrow and also his relief as he sets his son free, and it's set to a local Geordie song, Dance to Your Daddy. This song is free to download on sheilahamill.co.uk, along with 47 more Old Testament stories in song. Abraham was tested, oh so sorely tested. He just got a message from the living God. Go down to Moriah, sacrifice your boy there. Burn him as an offering, then report to me. Early the next morning, as the day was dawning, saddled up his donkey, set off on his way. Isaac travelled with him, trusting and unknowing, lamb for the burnt offering, Abraham looked grim. Come to your daddy, my little laddie, don't think badly of me, I've a job to do. Put him on an altar and he didn't falter, raised his knife to slay him, then he heard a voice. Abraham, don't hurt him, lay no hand upon him, now God knows you're faithful, offered him your son. Now what takes the biscuit from a nearby thicket? Abraham found a ram there, offered it instead. To your daddy, my little laddie, God has saved us both, now I am dancing too. Dance to your daddy, my little laddie, God has saved us both, now I am dancing too. As a reward for his obedience, God blessed Abraham and his descendants down through the ages, telling them that one day they would come to bless the whole earth. As the years went by, Abraham's descendants became a great nation, spreading out and multiplying. In the Bible, they're pictured as a vine. But they repeatedly turned away from God to other gods and they broke his laws. They were unfaithful and didn't bear the fruit that God intended. But the prophets spoke of one of their number who would fulfill his promise to bless the world. On the night before Jesus died, he claimed to be the true vine, the genuine article. And this is what he told his disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 to 8. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you. Ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples.
I am the
So the Father is the gardener, Jesus is the vine, we are the branches. Then what flows through the branches, bringing nourishment to the fruit, is the Spirit of God. I suppose the greater the flow, the more mature the fruit will be. The more God's Spirit fills his people, the more holy their character, and the more effective their outreach, as long as they remain part of the vine. I understood this passage of Scripture better when we visited Hampton Court a while ago, and saw a vine called the Great Vine housed there. It's the longest grapevine in the world, planted in 1768 by Capability Brown. It began its life as a very small cutting and was planted outside a glasshouse, and its branches were trained inside. By the 1790s, the vine was thriving so much and growing to such an enormous size that the glasshouse had to be enlarged by 3.5 metres to house it. It produces a phenomenal amount of fruit each year after its annual pruning and cleaning. It takes the vine keeper around 3 weeks to remove all the grapes. In this next song, the believer asks to be a channel of God's divine peace flowing out to others. It's taken from a personal prayer attributed to St. Francis of Assisi.
Make me a channel of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me bring your love. Where there is injury, your pardon, Lord. And where there's doubt, true faith in you. O Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul. Make me a channel of your peace. Where there's despair in life, let me bring hope. Where there is darkness, only light. And where there's sadness, ever joy. Oh, Master, grant that I may never seek so much to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love with all my soul.
That was Make Me a Channel of Your Peace by Aled Jones. It's interesting that Jesus said that the fruitful branches would have to be pruned in order for the vine to remain healthy and bear even more fruit. Everything which hindered the growth of the branch had to be removed. A tendril here, some alien growth there, or perhaps a shoot removed to make room for a stronger one to survive. A tendril spirals out and clings for support anywhere to steady the plant, and sometimes we believers can drift away and attach ourselves to a new experience, or perhaps a new means of support which may not be good for us. We've got to make sure we cling on to God's word and live by it. Healthy branches need to be trimmed and cleaned up from any alien growth, just as there's a need for us to confess the wrong we do and receive forgiveness. Then there are the shoots that must be cut back and removed. Only we can say what it is that we must cut back on in order to be more effective and fruitful in God's service. I think for me, it would be my late nights. But pruning may prove to be a painful process for us, but it is necessary. Often when we try our best to follow a godly path, we can find ourselves sorely tested. But perhaps it's all part and parcel of life's cycle. But if focused and steadfast, we can find that we're able to help others who might find themselves in similar situations. As long as we remain part of the vine, there will be steady growth, even when storms come along and the darkness closes in. How many times have we heard this next song sung at football matches? It's an uplifting song called You'll Never Walk Alone from the Rodgers and Hammerstein musical Carousel. It's sung here by a Norwegian soprano with an incredible voice. Her name is Sissel Sersebo.
When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm, there's a golden sky and the sweet silver song of
This is Radio Tyneside, hospital radio for Newcastle and Gateshead, broadcasting on Channel 1 of Hospedia, the ward entertainment system, on 1575 AM in the hospital community, and online, info@radiotyneside.co.uk, and on Radio Player. Then there's the part where Jesus says, "Apart from me you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers." What does this mean? Cut off from the source of the true vine, cut off from God's word, cut off from fellowship with other believers, will make us shrivel and grow cold, rather like a cinder removed from a fire, which becomes dead and lifeless. Some think that the withered branch refers to Judas, who betrayed Jesus, or even to those who only pay lip service to their faith and who've fallen away. There are some who suggest that the withered branch referred to the fall of Jerusalem in 70 AD, when the city was destroyed and the people killed or taken into slavery. Who knows? But the dead, dry wood of a vine is not fit for any other purpose. No longer can life flow through. It has lost touch with its source. All this reminds me of two stretches of water in the Holy Land, the Sea of Galilee and the Dead Sea. Both are fed by the same river, the Jordan, which flows into the Sea of Galilee and then out again. The waters of Galilee teem with life, and the surrounding area is very fertile. But then the river Jordan flows on towards the Dead Sea, which is below sea level, and there it comes to a dead end. Consequently, there is no life in its waters. It's full of salt and minerals, and all around is desert land because there's no outlet for the water. But when living waters flow, they bring life by flowing on and giving life elsewhere. May we too learn to give out as we journey through life. That was Guide Me, O Thou Great Jehovah, with words by W. Williams and music by John Hughes. So how can we tell if we're on the right track, that we are fruitful branches and we're in God's plan? This is what it says in Matthew 7. By their fruit you will recognize them. Here we have a song called The Parable of the Tree and Its Fruit from Pearls of Great Price.
Beware of false prophets like sheep, they're disguised. Beneath they are wolves, so open your eyes. By their fruits ye shall know them as each new day dawns. Figs don't grow on thistles, nor grapes on their thorns. A sound tree gives good fruit, a poor one what's bad. Bad trees can't bear good fruit, now isn't that sad? By their fruits ye shall know them as each new day dawns. Figs don't grow on thistles, nor grapes on the thorns. Each tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and destined for fire right there on the ground. So come heed this warning in case you're inspired to do what is evil and wrong in God's eyes.
You know, it's amazing how much fruit one healthy branch can produce. And it's amazing what one committed person can achieve. I have a friend called Margaret Story, who's a missionary serving in Nicaragua 8 months of the year. And I had hoped to interview her for this programme, but the recording machine was new to me and not loud enough when I played it back, and off she went to Nicaragua. But let me tell you about one part of our interview, where someone said to her, "But Margaret, what can one person do?" Well, let me tell you, through her and the very generous people who've supported her, the people of Bluefields, Nicaragua now have 120 young people in schools, 5 wells, a craft centre, a laundry, and women are no longer attacked and raped down by the river. They have a communal kitchen, playgrounds and a slide, equipment for local hospitals, repairs to homes, and money for life-changing and life-saving operations. This is just one wonderful example of what happens when one person goes out on a limb and allows the love of God to flow through her out to others. May God's love and blessing be upon everybody listening today, whoever you are, wherever you are, in whatever circumstances you are in. This is Sheila Hamlet, Radio Tyneside. Thank you for joining me, and I hope you'll tune into New Day Dawning at Radio Tyneside next Sunday. My thanks to Andrew Ridgwick for his technical skills in helping to produce this programme. And so I leave you with our final song, In Christ Alone, by Stuart Townend. For if we want to be more effective in our faith and in our witness, and bear fruit that will last, we must remain in Christ and stand firm in his word, putting love into action. As this song says, he commands our destiny until he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I stand.
In Christ alone.
In Christ alone my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease. My comforter, my all in all, here in the love of Christ I stand. In Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless pain, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by
strength, then bursting.